Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon Delight.
Wake up! Wake up! Grab rice and put a little makeup. I just have to fade away the shake-up. Why'd you leave the keys up on the table? Here you go, create another table. You wanted to. Grab a rice and put a little makeup.
Hour number three on a Thursday. I do love it when Trey throws a little System of a Down in a promo. Something about that band. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling is back producing with us today. Also, our summer intern, Charles Amenahieu. You might know him as old number 90 for the Texas football team. He's hanging out today. In fact, coming up at 6 o'clock, top of the 6 o'clock hour. Occasionally, while Charles has been here, we've had him come in the studio, kind of hang out with us, but we'll give him a little media. I mean, he didn't get to go through Big 12 Media Day, so we'll give him some weird media questions coming up.
He didn't seem too upset about that.
No, he does not seem crushed, but that's okay. He'll have plenty of time to answer questions as he moves along, so maybe we'll help him out with that, and we'll talk some football with him as they get ready for the season. 44 days away from Texas and Maryland. Coming up here in just a second, we're going to grab our guy, Scipio Tex. Is he all ready to roll? Ready to go? We're going to get him in a second. Remember that that preview, the digital preview, Thinking Texas Football. It's out there for you. Amazon, iTunes, wherever you get it. Now, does he get you a free copy of this? How does this work?
Yes, he does.
Okay. I've never.
You want me to get you one?
I've never read the thing. I actually considered last week maybe laying the money out for him.
Well, don't tell him that.
No,
because he won't give you a free one then.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then in that case, can you give
me can get that done.
Can you get me a free one?
I think
one
we can.
What I should
I
have
think
asked.
We can.
Yeah, let me do that. Yeah, so that's iTunes, Amazon, and the digital preview. Scipio Tex. You check out the stuff at Inside Texas and Barking Carnival throughout the season. Always an interesting perspective on this Texas team. We'll get his thoughts on the play calling situation, but also some of the things he's looking for in terms of, you know, offense, defense, and hey, that offensive line now that the Mikey Grandy story comes through.
Yeah, the offensive line, I want to get into a little bit more with him, and he does really good position breakdowns all the way around, so we can fire on anything.
Yep, we do love talking to Paul. We'll do that here in a little bit, and like I said, we'll grab get Charles Amenahieu in here at 6:05 and talk some football with him. If you're just jumping in, the British Open today, while we're grabbing Mr. Scipio, British Open is led by Kevin Kisner, the Georgia product, shot a 66 today, and a lot of the big names are still within shouting distance. Rory McIlroy only 3 shots back, along with Justin Thomas. Ricky Fowler 4 shots back. Tiger would be 5 shots back. 6 shots back for Jordan Spieth. And Mickelson is 7 shots back. A lot of golf to play. Rain scheduled tomorrow, but Jordan Spieth gets to go out in the afternoon, and they think it actually might be nice. And plus, it's after the rain. If you know anything about golf, soften up a golf course might be a little better for him tomorrow. So we'll keep you up to date on that and remind you what happened at Carnoustie. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk to the one and only Scipio Tex, Inside Tex, Inside Texas, Barking Carnival, and then look for that Thinking Texas Football.
He's been Inside Tex before.
Preview. He has been Inside Tex, but that's a whole nother story. Look for Thinking.
It's a long night.
Thinking Texas Football, the digital preview, Amazon, iTunes, wherever you get that stuff. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. And trying to keep it clean on the Inside Tex comment. I don't know if you guys remember Chad, you wouldn't know, but Kevin, do you remember the old text automated online, I mean, not online, but phone system where you found out your grades?
Absolutely. You had to set up classes, all that. He was like an uncle to me.
Exactly. And yeah, I remember my first freshman semester when I pledged a fraternity and was not very very responsible in my schoolwork. And I remember hearing you have scored an F, as in Frank, in biology 101.
I like that.
And I had to call back twice to replay it to make sure he wasn't somehow saying B as in baby or B as in boy.
I like that he put a word with it just in case.
Oh, he would.
In case you don't know. Did he do that for all grades?
Yeah, they were not all F, thank God. But I do recall my father and I having a discussion about the United States Marine Corps shortly thereafter. and I should have known because I have distinct memories. This is a true story of the day before my final. I should say the evening before my final. I was sitting in a hot tub with a pair of sorority girls, and I was thinking, you know, I really should go study right now. And I kept looking at my, you know, watch or whatever and saying, all right, I got 9 hours and I'll just pull an all-nighter. And then I was like, I've got 6 hours and I'll just pull an all-nighter. And the all-nighter never happened. And the F as in Frank did happen.
Well, and look at you today. See?
And look at me today. I can actually do elementary levels of biology. Just don't trust me with a microscope and a cover slip.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But we certainly can trust you when it comes to talking Texas football and college football and a whole lot of other stuff. Let's just get the play calling thing out of the way. Give me your thoughts on play calling, because Tom Herman dealt with that at Media Days and with us yesterday in an interview. Any concern for you with this whole play calling discussion?
No, I mean, in not dealing with it, he dealt with it by not dealing with it, which is dealing with it, which is basically to tell everyone, like, look, this is going to be kind of Johnny Allstaff, right? Everyone's going to, you know, be collaborative on it. And he tried to sort of guise it in the idea that everyone in the staff has a role in game planning, and that's all true. But I think we all know that he has far less thumb on the scale or, you know, interest with respect to Todd Orlando's defense, right? He probably pops his head in the defensive film room on Thursday and says, everything good here, guys? And then, you know, Todd kind of nods at him and Herman walks out. So I think the ultimate question is, can Herman eventually wean the staff and Beck being the primary guy or whoever he chooses as his primary guy to sort of run the show, and he can go out and, you know, concentrate on making Texas football great, which is his real job, not just trying to be the de facto offensive coordinator. So, you know, I think he answered it obliquely, and I think that the non-answer is the answer, which is, look, it's going to be all hands on deck until we kind of figure out what's going on. And the point I've made in the book, and I think in talking to you guys, is the best thing that did happen for Beck with respect to his job security is that near the end of the season, Herman and others essentially took over the play calling, and the offensive product didn't really improve. So, you know, that's probably good news for Beck, and I think it's what earned him a second shot.
How big is a Mikey Grandy loss?
You know, well, first of all, I feel for the kid. I wish him nothing but success, and I think one amazing thing about the structure of college football is that he can continue on and get his education paid for. So I hope he maximizes that and really exploits getting a degree from the University of Texas. You know, I wasn't counting on him, you know, just not at the risk of sounding, you know, a little undiplomatic. I wasn't counting on him as being a contributor. So I don't think it really affects O-line depth meaningfully at all.
Hmm. Okay. Talking with Scipio Tex, Inside Texas, Barking Carnival, and, of course, Thinking Texas Football, the digital preview. You can find it all kinds of ways. Go get it. Go grab it out there. Paul, tell me again the other service you guys have. You got Amazon and iTunes and all that, but there's a specific service you use?
Yeah, it's called Smashwords. It's an independent publisher. We get a little bit of a better kickback when people buy their copies through them. It's downloadable to any format that you have. It's not, you know, you don't need to have a specific type of reader to get it. It works just like downloading it off of Amazon. But I'm happy to have people read it wherever they get it. And I should add, we're still number one in football coaching on Amazon.com.
Very nice.
Number one ahead of. Yeah. So tell Bucky Godbolt that. I think that should make him. He should be really excited about that. That a non-coach has a number one book on Amazon. In the coaching section.
You're darn right. That is fantastic. So, Paul, in terms of the offensive side, we talked to you last week, I think, about the receiving position, and it's obviously a big part of it. I saw this week that Colin Johnson is on, you know, the Biletnikoff watch list, and right now those lists are
I'm actually on a couple of watch lists.
Right,
exactly. We all are, exactly.
We always make fun of them the same way because there's 80, 90 guys on there, and who cares?
Now, Paul's watch list is meganslaw.com, but it's still a watch list.
That is still a watch list. That's a good call there. I like that. So in terms of these receivers and how it all ties together, we were just talking about play calling and everything. The usage of these receivers, how do you think it's going to look in 2018? Do things get whittled down a little bit in terms of who's out there, and do they really lean on a couple guys?
Chad, I think they're going to use the receivers as pass catchers, and they're going to throw the ball to tall, fast men running down the field very, very fast.
It's a good play.
Perfect analysis.
Actually, your second question, I think, is the pertinent one, which is I think they got a little too loosey-goosey with the receiver rotation last year. I'm not sure if they've talked about that or would even admit it. I think part of that was motivated by they weren't getting the effort level or at least the route running that they wanted from some guys. And I think it was also just frustration with the offense in general. But I think this year they're going to really cut down to the core receiving group. And I think you're going to see Lil Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson be 1A and 1B. And then I think you're going to see Devin Duvernay hopefully be the guy that can take the top off of the defense. And, you know, if they're going to put too much attention on LGH and Colin Johnson, then Duvernay should have some opportunities. The other guy is Gerard Hurd, who, you know, has some skills. He's got some attributes. And he's a steady guy. He's a veteran. He's a guy you can count on. I think he still has a chance to have a good year for Texas. I mean, the guy's a talented dude. And, I mean, I think we've all kind of forgotten this is the same guy that, as a freshman, you know, compiled 570-something yards against Cal playing quarterback. So, you know, he has some tools. He has some skills. I think they translate well to this offense, particularly if you have some big guys like LJH and CJ and Duvernay kind of blowing off the defense and getting some room underneath. I think Hurd can excel there because he's pretty good after the catch. As for some of the other guys and younger guys, you know, the good news is I don't think they're going to be forced to play. But if they do play, it's because they're contributing something that, you know, one of the older guys isn't. And that's a good thing. But I think the best thing that can happen for this receiver core is that the coaches kind of cut down the rotation to a core four or five guys and really see if they can ingrain some chemistry with the quarterbacks and, you know, create a little bit better in-game learning. Because, I mean, last year they played as many as 10 guys. They're starting Lorenzo Joe 1 week. You know, they're benching Colin Johnson effectively a couple of times during games. I think they've got to. Yeah, maybe they're trying to make a point in that, and I understand that they want to make a coaching point to the players that they need to do what they're being instructed. But I think they're past that stage now in the program, and I think now they just want to run with their best horses out there and see what they can create in the passing offense.
How big of a drop-off are we going to have at the nose with Chris Nelson replacing Puna Ford?
You know, I'm not fully convinced that Chris Nelson is going to be the full-time replacement at nose for Puna Ford. The great value of Puna Ford, I mean, talk about a guy whose box score and statistics lied about his actual performance.
Right.
He's a guy, if you look back, he only had 34 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, and like a sack and a half on the season. But, I mean, he was as disruptive a guy as we've ever seen. I mean, Tom Herman, I don't know if you guys caught this. I'm sure you did. But he said he's only been around 3 really impactful nose tackles in his entire coaching career: Casey Hampton, Ed Oliver, U of H, and Puna Ford at Texas.
Yeah, it's a good list.
So, I mean, that's a nice list to be a part of. And, you know, we're going to miss that. That said, Taquan Graham is an explosive dude. And he's a little, you know, he's learning to not be gun shy in there because it's very difficult for an edge defender to move inside and have all these blockers coming at them from different directions and having to eat double teams on certain plays, having to understand that you can't just rush upfield and get trapped, you know, understanding of when to engage and disengage and things like that. He's in a learning process there, but he's probably the guy with the quickest step on the interior, right? He's going to be the guy that can offer what Puna had in terms of that elite first step that if you don't help your center, your quarterback is, you know, going to take a little trip to the hospital. So I think that's going to be a big factor. I think Chris Nelson is less explosive in that regard, but I think he's stronger. He is an extremely strong, stout dude. And against certain teams that run the ball, and particularly teams that run the ball in a conventional way, like a USC, like an Oklahoma State this year, as they try to take some of the burden off their new quarterback, and they've got Justice Hill, who's excellent. Iowa State, obviously more of a conventional running game. Even Kansas State and Maryland, I think you're going to see a big role for Chris Nelson, but it may not be at nose tackle. He may also be playing that 4-eye position, you know, strong side defensive end, because they want to get a really good push and hold on that side of the ball towards the tight end. And then they want to use the nose tackle to disrupt. I honestly think you're going to see both play that nose tackle position. And I think if you kind of platoon them that way so that they can kind of give maniacal effort, maybe you can get 90% of what you got from Puna Ford. And then when you have the uptick from Charles Omenihu, Brecken Hager, even Marquez Bimage and McCullough, guys like that who can play situationally on the edge. You know, Malcolm Roach, of course, you can line him up anywhere. I think you have a potential to replace the overall defensive line pressure from last year, even if you're going to, you know, understand that you're going to miss Puna Ford tremendously.
Do you expect to see McCullough, I mean, in the rotation?
So I think one of the interesting, you know, sub battles in camp. You know, obviously the press and media and an average fan will be focused on Ehlinger versus Bouchelle and stuff like that. I think an interesting battle is going to be between guys auditioning for the extra pass rusher role. And what I mean by that is, I think they believe their best three pass rushers on the defensive line are going to be Omanihu, Hager, and Graham. There's a role there for a fourth or even fifth guy, and that could be Malcolm Roach, obviously, in some plays, lined up outside or blitzing inside. But there's a role there for a Marquez Bimage, for Jeffrey McCullough. It's not specific to a position. You know, think of it as like a group that you run out on third and nine, or just a group you run out against Texas Tech for the entire game. It's, can I get quick pressure from this guy, and will he hold up and be physical and not just try to sprint around blocks and try to line up, you know, like in a track stance and sprint up the field? I think there's going to be a battle between guys like McCullough, Bimage, maybe even Moro Ojomo, the true freshman from Katy. I think there's going to be a very interesting battle for that role. And within that role, I think that's a guy who can grab 4 or 5 sacks on the season just off of the pressure that those other players are creating. So I think that's an interesting sub-battle to look for in camp. And, yeah, I do think McCullough has an opportunity to earn a role. The other thing to consider is, if you've looked at our scary linebacker depth, not only for this season but for next season, McCullough needs to start impressing. He's a junior. He's obviously got a lot of ability. He's a really smart guy that the coaches like. He's also a physical guy. He just hasn't quite put it together. And if he can start to show some stuff, particularly as a pass rusher, also lining up off the ball as a more traditional linebacker, you know, he's going to sew up a starting role for next year as a senior.
Paul, looking around the conference a little bit, give us a team in the Big 12 that you are really intrigued by in 2018. For whatever reason, maybe they're at the top of your list, maybe they're in the middle, maybe they're towards the bottom, but a team that you're really just intrigued, you have a lot of questions about going into the year.
You know, I actually think this is the most wide open Big 12 race that we've seen in recent memory. I don't see a clear leader. I think the default leader is Oklahoma, because when in doubt, just go with Oklahoma.
Right.
You'll be right slightly more than half the time. And obviously they bring back quite a bit of firepower on offense. But you know, they've got big questions on their defense. And if any of y'all have an opportunity, not to shamelessly plug Inside Texas, but Ian Boyd went to Big 12 Media Days and had an interview with Kenneth Murray, the middle linebacker for OU. And he asked him about some of the big gaffes that they had in the playoff game against Georgia, where Georgia, you know, gouged them with Sony Michel just running inside zone. And he was trying to explain what they were trying to do on that play. And, man, I'm not a football coach, Bucky Godbolt, but nonetheless, what he was describing was very unsound. And it's not good defensive coordination. It's not good football. It's not good basic football. And I think that kind of weakness is always going to hurt them. So, you know, what's going to happen to OU if you take 10 points per game off their scoring average? You know, it's easy to hide that defense when you win a game 52-35. What's going to happen when those games are getting played in the 30s? And I think that's a very interesting thing for OU. I think the other interesting thing for the Big 12 teams is the lack of balance. So, for example, you've got a team like West Virginia and Kansas State, who do things completely differently, but each in their own way, they're absolutely loaded for bear in their system. So Kansas State has two very capable quarterbacks. They've got a good running back in Alex Barnes. They've got all 5 offensive line starters returning, and they've got a ton of experience in that Snyder system. And when they have those things together, history shows that that offense is really tough to deal with. On the other side of the ledger is West Virginia, which has essentially all their offensive linemen back. They've got the best quarterback, or at least the most proven quarterback in the Big 12. They've got their best receivers back, and they've got, you know, a reasonable running back, and they're going to throw the ball 60 times a game. So the thing that makes them interesting is they're going to be all offense. Kansas State has no secondary, and they really lack the ability to get a good pass rush. And West Virginia was, you know, gave up over 300 yards rushing last year to Khalil Herbert, the running back from Kansas. So, and you know, I think I mentioned this last time, but, you know, Daniel Young and Kyle Porter ran for a lot of yardage against them when we played them on the road. So, I think that's going to – pardon me, at home. So, I think that's going to be actually, it was on the road. Sorry about that. We get them at home this year. So, I think that's going to be a significant factor. And you're going to have a lot of classic Big 12-style shootouts. And I think the interesting thing for Texas that makes us a legitimate dark horse is there's no other team in the league that can get pass rush, you know, pass rush and defend receivers the way we can. We've got great depth on the defensive line, great depth in the secondary, and you've got a defensive coordinator who's proven to really be able to shut down conventional offenses. So I just think it's the most wide open the conference has ever been. I would not be shocked at all if Iowa State won the league. Wouldn't shock me one bit.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, I'm with you. I think it's wide open, and I think there's five or six teams. I don't know about Iowa State, but you do feel like the Texas personnel can match up well. What's the key then? Is it just going to be scoring enough points?
It's scoring enough points. I mean, it's really tough to go to the NBA and play great defense, but not be able to score and try to go deep in the playoffs, right? I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies find this out every year. So I just think that if you can't, you know, you don't have to be a powerhouse. You just have to be good enough. And, you know, the thing was, we had an all-time bad Texas offense last year. You know, I documented it in the Texas football preview. And frankly, the last 8 years that we've been wandering in the desert with a, you know, 53% winning percentage, it's the fault of the offense. Now, our defenses haven't been fully, you know, truly elite. But if you just look at the metrics and if you look at the analysis, it's the offense that's really been holding us back. And so if we can move from the 99th ranked offense in the country of last year to in the 40s, hey, this is a 9-3 football team in the regular season. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, those Memphis fans, they call it the grind house. It's a grind on the opponent, but it's kind of a grind on them too.
Exactly.
It's kind of a grind to try to pull it off.
It's the grind of the coffee that they need to stay awake watching it.
Right, exactly. that's a good point as well. That is Scipio Tex. Check out that digital preview, Thinking Texas Football. Get it on Smashword. Get it on Amazon, iTunes, wherever you get your stuff. Paul would appreciate it if you grabbed it on Smashword, by the way. Check out Inside Texas and Barking Carnival as well. Paul, it is truly a treat to talk to you two straight weeks in July.
Always a treat to talk to you guys. And Kevin, I have made a date with Trey Elling, and I'm going to be on his show next week. And if you're feeling a little jealousy, it's all right, my man. There's other fish in the sea.
Yeah.
Wow.
There are other fish in the sea, just not one like you, Paul.
Hey, you still complete me, buddy.
It's an open relationship.
Get out of here. Yeah, Trey and I have had an open relationship for years, so I'm cool with that.
That is.
Trey's promiscuous. He's up to stuff that you're not even aware of.
Man. Oh, no, he's dirty. His kink level's high.
I'm digitally inclined.
Oh, good grief. All right. Thank you, Paul.
We're going to say goodbye before we're off the air.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Thanks to Paul.
Paul, do you have something there?
Was he about to add something else and really take us off the air?
I was just letting out a little sigh, thinking about our good times together, Kevin.
That's what it was.
See you,
okay,
buddy.
Thanks, Paul. Scipio Tex, the one and only. Look for that digital preview out there. Big three coming right up, including the big baseball deal of the day. We're talking football, peeking in on Ohio State. They got that big matchup with TCU coming early in the season. And before the hour's done, voicemails and crap bag, and coming up at 6:05. Charles Amenihue, we'll grab him, get him in studio. He's been our intern here for a little bit in the summer. We'll, give him some media training because he's going to have to answer a lot of questions and stuff this season. That defense ought to be pretty darn good. This is The Horn.
Of course, everyone goes crazy over such and such and such. We made ourselves a pillow. We just used it as a crutch.
Hope you're having a great Thursday. Chad and Kevin with you. 44 days till Texas and Maryland get after it and the rest of that good action on September the 1st. Trey, what do you got here?
This is Modest Mouse, one of the many excellent acts performing at Float Fest this weekend down south of San Marcos. It's July 21st and 22nd. Tame Impala, Bass Nectar, Snoop Dogg, Modest Mouse, Run the Jewels, Cold War Kids, Lil Wayne, Toadies, White Denim, and plenty others as well.
A lot of good stuff there. Also on the musical front today, happy 71st birthday to one Brian May, the guitar player for Queen. I never knew this. He's an astrophysicist. Brian May got his PhD in 2007. Before they went big, he was studying physics. He was going for his PhD, took a break while they were being Queen, and then he went back and got his PhD. So good for him. I saw today some magazine considers him the second best guitar player in rock and roll history.
Whoa.
Brian May of Queen. Some seriously great
Who's one?
Licks
Jimmy?
Out there. I didn't see the list. I did not see that list. I'm assuming. I would assume.
Clapton's up there.
I would assume Jimi Hendrix would start that list, but I didn't realize. I'm not trying to dog Brian May. I just didn't realize two. I mean, way up there. But some of his stuff is... It's timeless. There's some of those solos that are going to live forever. So I love Brian May.
What did Clapton say when they asked him, what's it like being the best guitar player in the world? He said, I don't know, ask Prince.
That, I believe, was the Clapton line. Yes. I don't know, ask Prince. That's, you're right. At the time, he believed that that's who it was. I'm sure Prince is on that list somewhere. Guitar players always gave him the love.
Jimmy's one, though, right?
Oh, for me, he is.
I mean, if there is a one.
Absolutely. I would definitely start it there. Remember, speaking of music, got Coke Fest coming up on August 10th and 11th. Our sister station, Coke FM, putting that on. I think I heard one of the guys on with Bucky and Aaron today. Josh Abbott was on with them. Josh Abbott Band will be a part of it. Mark Chestnut, Whiskey Myers, and more. Not to mention, tons of vendors, lots of food, 8 bars, and plenty of other drinking options to choose from. So general admission and a handful of VIP tickets still available. Go to CokeFest.com and buy your tickets before they sell out. And again, just in case Charlie Sheen is listening, Coke FM, it's a radio station. Don't make that mistake.
This is not going to be an all-night affair.
Don't make that mistake.
Not going to happen.
Not going to be good.
Did you see that the longtime Frisco Diner is closing after 65 years?
No, I've never been there. Where is it?
It's the last remaining location of the Nighthawk chain.
Okay. I've heard of it.
6801 Burnett.
Heard of it, never been there.
I would have gone there years ago, but yeah, it's done.
All right, so somebody on the text line, 337-3776, if you've been to, tell me the name again.
Frisco Diner.
Frisco.
Yeah,
okay.
It was one of those Nighthawk chains.
So what did you get at the Frisco? If you're into it out there and you've been there a long time, you and your family may have gone back in the day, what was the go-to at the Frisco?
I think it's a steak place, isn't it?
I always hear about it, but I've never been there. That is sad to hear.
I don't think Trey's been there either.
Sad when those places go away.
Yes, one of those diner-style places that serves a pretty decent greasy steak.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
A skillet steak.
We need those.
Yeah.
Those still need to exist too.
Like Off-Brow on 6th Street.
Off-Brow's a great example.
Can I get like a sandwich there too? Straight up steakhouse vibe?
I really don't know. I've never been there before.
Right. Durwood used to give stories about the Off-Brow. I guess the Hamby brothers owned it, and they were old school, man. They used to, a couple times, would go after each other with knives in front of everyone.
Wow. Like,
yeah, it was different time, man.
And at the end, everybody would.
Yeah.
Well done.
Are the baked potatoes coming out now?
Oh, they're just being brothers.
Off-Brow over time has done a pretty good job of adjusting to the times, as that West 6th Street area has really turned into more of a nighttime hotspot. The Off-Brow took what was that small, crappy parking lot and turned it into not only more outdoor seating, but they've got a really cool stage there now. They do live music as well. So I don't know if it's Ruben that still owns the Off-Brow. He was the owner 10 to 15 years ago. But whoever is in charge of that now, kudos on adjusting it and trying to stick around in a very popular area.
Always had a very popular salad. My mom would remake that salad.
I love that salad.
All right, if you're just jumping in here, we got a couple things going on in sports on a slow week. Let's get you a big three.
The big three.
The big three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
One baseball game tonight. Kevin's Cubs and those dirty, no-good Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
Taking on one another in the one and only scheduled game. I think it's on ESPN if you want to check it out tonight.
It's the only one. Flaherty, Hendricks, I believe.
Okay.
Couple right-handers.
6 o'clock starts?
Yeah,
like
around there. It's the only one, and then we're back into it tomorrow, babe.
Tomorrow, full.
Oh, I called you babe, but I did.
Babe.
Yeah, babe.
A little baseball. Do I get a little pop on? Do I get a little, you know?
If I was next, yeah. That would hit you on the ass on that. Headache up, babe.
Yeah, it sounded like I was about to go up to bat. Dodgers got Manny Machado yesterday. Today, the Indians make a move to help their bullpen because it needs a ton of help. So they go get Brad Hand. That'll help. From the Padres, the big left-hander, 6'3", left-handed reliever, will try to help a bullpen that is 29th in ERA, 29th in opposing batting average, and worst in baseball at home run percentage. I want you to think about that when I say worst in home run percentage, because that's a league that includes a lot of badness. Think about that. That means the Rangers bullpen, the Tampa Bay bullpen, The Orioles
the
bullpen.
The Orioles bullpen, right.
It's better than that.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of what when I looked at it, I go, I know it was bad, but that bad?
Dead last.
They have to do it. And this is all about not winning the Central. This is about having a shot in the playoffs.
Yep, no doubt. Brad Hand is now an Indian. Remember, the trade deadline is, let's see, we're about 12 days away from that. So if you're an Astros fan or any other fan of the big teams, we'll see if there's any more movement. We talked a little Texas football, of course. We talked with Tom Herman yesterday. He told us that Mikey Grandy, medically disqualified because of the concussions. That is certainly bad to hear, but good to hear if that's the decision that needs to be made, that it was made, and he gets to finish out, and he still has the scholarship and still gets to get the degree. I agree with what Paul just said. Scipio Tech said that I love that part of the system, and as Jeff Howe told us earlier, that spot still gets to be used. So it all works out for everybody.
It works out. It works out. And
I like that.
Yeah, and I like the way college football plays that, and they need to continue. I mean, there's no reason with the money they're making not to have that kid on ride.
Right. No, it's just a good way to do it. Good story. Just like they did with, what was the kid, Matt Nader?
Matt Nader.
Years
ago. Interned for us, too.
Yeah.
He was a great guy.
What a nice kid. Yeah, that was really cool, too, that he got to finish out with the scholarship. And they gave him the scholarship. That was from the very beginning, remember? He couldn't play at all.
Yeah, but he had already committed and signed.
Yeah,
and
that was good stuff. We don't often have one of those stories with the NCAA and college football, but, everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
In that case, it's not bad. Also, the British Open today, they are done, obviously, at Carnoustie. Kevin Kisner is the leader at -5. You got some big names lurking. Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas are just three shots back. Ricky Fowler shot -1 today. Tiger, even par, not bad. Jordan Spieth is at +1, so not too far back. Phil Mickelson +2. And let's give a little love to Brandon Stone, the South African, but also a Longhorn for a year before he went pro. Brandon Stone just had some success in the Scottish Open, I believe it was, where he played really well. And now he throws up a 68. So he's right in there, just a couple shots back. Day two is tomorrow, where they'll have rain in the morning, but hopefully they get some decent stuff in the afternoon.
But the rain, you think, is going to be good for this course?
Yeah, I think it's going to be... It's going to be good. The problem with that tournament is if you're playing during the rain.
Right.
If you're playing during the rain, there was that one year that Tiger went out there on, I think it was Saturday, and it rained sideways just while they were playing.
Mm.
Then it cleared up later in the day, and Tiger was sunk because of that.
You have to explain those scores later on.
Right. It's like,
a couple years later, you forgot what was going on then.
Were you here that day? Because it was crazy. One other quick note. I'll just say it, and we'll move on. But SportsCenter broke this story earlier. The Miami Dolphins players who protest on the field during the national anthem could be suspended for up to 4 games under a team policy issued this week. Wow. And that comes through the Associated Press. Do with that what you will. There's your big three for a Thursday. I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. My God. Let's see, what else have we hit today? Falcons are not going to extend Julio Jones. He may not report to camp. And we're also talking a little extra Ohio State today. As we get closer, we're going to go and get into our Horn Top 20 and all of that. But certainly a team that we'll pay attention to earlier in the year because of that TCU game. And I said this earlier, I don't even think TCU needs to win that game to impress me.
I'm with you on that.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's a hard fought,
if it was 28-24, I'd have to see it, but
yeah,
I'll probably think TCU is going to be for real in the Big 12, which I'm assuming they will be.
How does their defense stack up, Banagu and all those guys stacking up against Campbell, who we mentioned is back, and J.K. Dobbins is back? Both teams are trying to figure out, is this our quarterback? Do we know absolutely who our guys are? Is this going to be Robinson, against, who's the cat you were talking about earlier that played last year? I always forget his name.
Haskins.
I was going to call him Sanders for some reason. Yeah, is it Haskins against Robinson, or are there other combinations that will get used? I am fascinated with what we've seen from Urban Meyer, the ability to deal with multiple quarterbacks.
Now,
he did it when it wasn't his choice, but I wonder with
been good at it, though.
I wonder with a kid like Tate Martell, will he do it when it's not his choice? Will he do it as his choice?
As his choice?
Will he even...
Do we see both? Is there a package in there?
Right. Like, will he use one of those and feel like he tried to do at the end of there with Braxton Miller, where he kind of works him in and, certain situations? Is there a... And we obviously saw him a masterful job of using a package of plays with Tebow in the first championship at Florida. I mean, that was incredible stuff to me. The usage of two quarterbacks, it never got in the way. It never messed with that team, and they won it all.
Yeah, and they were also able to turn Leak around. I mean, you forget about how up and down Leak was the first mm-hmm. 3 years. I mean, yeah. It's easy. You know, the Carson Palmers, the Chris Leaks of the world really got to thank the guys that came in, and it would not only be Urban, but also who? Dan Mullen would have helped him out.
Oh, that's
for
a
Carson
point.
Palmer, it would have been right. Pete Carroll coming in, and Norm Chow turned his career around. I'm giving players tons of love, but when you see they're that up and down, and one coach comes in, there's got to be something to that.
And now Dan Mullen is back.
And now he's back there.
It's just a circle of life,
isn't it?
It's
cyclical, isn't it?
Can we get Ohio State and Florida on the field as quickly as possible? Let's schedule that for a bowl game, can we?
Oh, God, I would love that.
Mullen would take that right now.
I would love that.
If that's all I told him, he'd have...
Urban would take it because they recruit Florida so well.
Well, that's true. That's true. But from Dan Mullen's perspective, he'd have to sign it if that's all I told him. Hey. All I can tell you about this season is you're going to play Ohio State in a bowl game. Where do I sign?
Yeah.
Where do I sign?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not telling you the bowl. He'll take that.
You're assuming it's a pretty good bowl, though.
Exactly. All right, coming up, we'll get you the voicemails. If you want to sneak one in there, it's 337-3776. Also, if you missed Tom Herman talking food yesterday, oh, you got to hear this. More appropriately, you got to hear Kevin's reaction, because that was my favorite part of it. Plus, I got to meet CDC last evening. I'll tell you that story as well. Coming up on The Horn.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, before we get into the crap bag proper, how about voicemails to welcome Trey back? 337-3776. Trey, you see any voicemails up there, partner?
Yeah, there's a lot of voicemails. Let me see. One, two, three, four.
That seems like a lot.
We'll go with five. Is five the max or four the max?
Well, I don't know, Kevin. What's the max? Would you allow five? That seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot.
I know you've balked at six before. What about five?
We can do five.
Going five. Okay, he's going five. By the way, the Monkey Hastings voice came back while you were gone.
Oh, was it good?
It was awesome. Everyone thought it was great except for Chad.
Awesome? You're going to go with awesome. Really? Is that where you're going to reset the word awesome?
Oh, yeah, because that word hasn't already been dragged through crap for the last 10, 15, 20 years.
That word never gets overused, I just want to say.
No.
How about voicemail number one?
I was wondering if I would be out of line if I started wearing a burnt orange hat around town that said, make Texas great again. Let me know what you think.
Might stay away from that exact phrasing, just to be safe.
We're back.
In the climate. How about voicemail number two?
I got to tell you, listening to Herman talk about weight training yesterday, gave me
just bailed.
Wow.
Just bailed.
Was that a dumpable event? That's what just happened?
It's not that easy, is it?
I couldn't hear if he said, bleep it or whatnot.
Yeah, I think he was like, I think he said, I forgot.
Just to make sure. Yeah, he may have said, I forgot. Let's hope so. Voicemail number three.
I got to tell you, listening to Herman yesterday talk about weight training gave me bad memories. Fran Chone talking about Night of Champions. Good luck with that.
He got it back.
Oh,
he got
on.
It back.
There's no reason to bring up such names. Voicemail number four.
So I hope the Longhorns have a really good year. I really do. There's only one real big improvement that I want to see. Stop clapping to tell your center when to snap the ball. That is the most retarded thing I've ever seen.
And a lot of old school fans do not like the clapping. And finally, voicemail number five.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that's the story of Mike Messini? In the bird
trip. we haven't replayed that recently.
No, we haven't.
We got to get into that at some point. Maybe tomorrow, Trey? Is tomorrow a good day for the bird poop?
Let's do it.
Yeah? Tomorrow, Mike Matheny in the bird poop and in a crap bag, I'm going to give Trey my review of the Blue Album by Weezer. That's all happening on tomorrow's show.
Now, you did see Matheny got fired, right? It kind of happened.
Did he really?
Weekend, maybe. Yeah, last weekend.
Now, wait, he was the manager of the Cardinals, right?
He got canned.
Oh, God.
Good riddance.
Yeah, oh, he's an awful, manager. No, I was hoping he'd stay there for the next 20 years.
You wanted
him
in.
I wanted a lifetime contract.
Yeah, you really wanted him there. All right, before we get into crap bag proper here, let me remind you about Sinus and Snoring Specialist. You want to breathe better, sleep better, feel better. Dr. Slaughter can do that for you, just like he did with me. I had my procedure in late March of 2017, and I'm definitely going to need that extra, you know, air going in and out of the nasal cavity now if I'm actually going to try to pick tennis back up. Oh, my God. I got out there today, got a little sweat going, and realized, oh, yeah, this is okay. Yeah, but I'm breathing a lot better now. So
you were running sprints.
We'll see. I was. I'm doing a little sprinting today. I don't know if sprinting is the right word, but I was running a little faster than walking. I was 85% blocked in my nasal passages, and they were able to help me. They can help you, too. For me, it was that balloon sinuplasty procedure. This is the cutting-edge, most advanced treatment, most unique treatments out there. So call them, set up an appointment today, and find out what they can do for you. 512-601-0303, or go to sinussnoringent.com. It's Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Feel clear, rested, and healthy. All right, it is crap bag time, and I saved this one till now for Trey. I hope this is going to be nice and fresh. Trey, you have not heard this sound. Is that correct from yesterday? Okay, so the one I sent you that's longer of the two is the one I want. The short version I sent you is something you can just use later, okay? The full version, right? Tom Herman and food conversation or something is what I said. So at the end of the interview yesterday, this question popped into my head. I want you to listen, obviously, to what he says, but listen specifically to what your fellow foodie, Kevin, says and how he reacts to what Tom Herman says. This was yesterday.
No, what'd I say?
I heard you tell Craig about this retreat that the coaches are doing coming up. When you guys go on the retreat, we're all about food on this show. What is the food that you cannot wait to get on at this retreat? What are you looking forward to?
The fajitas. And don't ask me where they're from. We're blessed enough to have Bill Duvall donate his ranch on Lake Austin for 2 days.
So how do you build your fajita? Let's go through this. We talking beef chicken? You a shrimp guy? How do you go about it?
I'm a steak fajita guy all the way.
Okay.
Cheese, lettuce, salsa, and then depending on the guacamole.
Whoa, no sour cream, though.
No sour cream.
No sour cream. What do you need?
Is that the Cali in you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What do you need to see from that guacamole? What draws you to the guacamole?
I like jalapenos and cilantro.
Nice.
I think cilantro is the most underrated herb in the history of herbs.
Wow.
Wow, you do?
Wow.
Now, cilantro, you would agree cilantro is love or hate. There is
Street
no in the middle.
Because
it's licorice-y to some people.
I don't know because I love it.
You love it?
You're a lover.
You can't imagine anyone
can't
not
imagine
loving it.
Anyone not loving it.
I mean, Kevin Dunn jumped that comment. He could have said, Billy Bates is not that good a second baseman. And I don't think you jump any quicker than when he said cilantro is the most underrated herb of all herbs.
I'm not a fan, but I do understand that, to me, cilantro is a love it or hate it. I haven't met many people in the middle. I don't like it.
Yes, you're definitely not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Trey, where do you stand on the cilantro thing, and what did you think of that?
For the longest time now, guys, I've been predicting Texas football to win 9 games in 2018. After hearing that, I'm down to 8 now.
You're taking the game off your prediction.
He's not a fan.
Whether or not he goes guacamole is based on if it has cilantro in it? No, thank you.
Jalapenos.
Okay, jalapenos I can be on board with, but the cilantro part, no thank you.
Wow. Both of you.
Very disappointed in that. That is the Cali tongue.
What I liked about it, though, is I liked that he was one way or the other. So with cilantro, I don't want to, you need to say, no, it's one of the most underrated herbs ever, or like us, and say, why is it around?
He was fired up about it. He was ready to go.
I got to say, though, there's not many guacs that I've had that I'm like, oh, all the little extras going on in this guac, I'm not a big fan of. I will pass on this guac now. I feel like you either, guac is one of those things. You're either on board with it or you're not, regardless of the little fixins in there.
No, see, that's what I liked about his specific nature there, where he said it depends on the guac. Okay.
Chad was like, all right, let's find out here.
You got to bring a specific guacamole.
We're getting a citrus in there at some point to maybe help keep walk fresh. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love talking food with Tom Herman. That thing where about him shopping and getting cereal, he's wonderfully honest about that stuff. Thanks to Coach for being for playing the game with us yesterday there at the end with one of my stupid questions.
It's a good question. You were loaded yesterday, man.
Okay, also last night, I concocted, when I saw these two people walk in the room, I thought, oh my God, I know one of those people. I don't know the other one and I've never met him, but I could have that person introduce me to that person. So Chris Plonsky, introduced me to Chris Del Conte.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
I saw Chris. Plonsky said hi to her.
Yep. I said hi to Chris.
The Plonsky Del Conte connection.
It was the Plonsky Del Conte connection. Exactly. So introduced me to Chris Del Conte, and man, everybody's impressed with the guy. I'll add to that list. I decided to personally tell him that I appreciated the way he reacted to the little Jordan Humphrey thing. He immediately went into this wonderfully personal comment about the situation. He talked about driving up to Big 12 Media Days, seeing the reaction that everybody was having on social media. And Kevin, rather than thinking about all those comments...
He wasn't driving, was he?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because don't look at your social media when you're driving.
Right. Rather than thinking about all those comments, rather than thinking about how this might be affecting the university or his business or anything like that, he only focused on Lil Jordan. And he talked about how he couldn't believe he was getting the reaction on Twitter. And he went into this great thing about how sports, and I agree with him, how sports can change the world. And he talked about Jesse Owens and Wilma Rudolph and all these different names
and
stuff.
Yeah, we got proof of that.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting there watching him like, wow, this is the new AD. If I'm a Texas fan, I would be eating every bit of this up. I'm not going to say it in every single word that he said or anything, but it was impressive. I mean, impressive guy. He just seems to enjoy visiting with people, talking with people, getting into things. And he told me, I just asked, I said, have you met with him yet? And he said, no, that's going to be today or going to be tomorrow, which is today. So hopefully they got a chance to meet. But after seeing this story with the Dolphins threatening to go 4-game suspension on guys for just exercising their rights, I like the idea that there's an AD out there that reacts this way. So once again, tip of the hat to Del Conte. I met him face to face. I told him, and he just impressed me even more.
Tie game solid.
Oh, yeah, he looked great. He just looks sharp. Looks sharp.
He's sharp. Sharp-looking dude.
And he just finished traveling back from the Dallas area, so that's not always possible. When I travel and I'm wearing suit like that, I look like hell.
Are you kidding me?
I get out of the car looking like hammered hell.
Everything's gone at that point.
Yeah, it's awful. So there you go, a little crap bag for the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up next, the one, the only, number 90, Charles Amenihue. He's been an intern with us. You've heard him a little bit, but up next, we'll talk to him. We'll make it like a formal interview. We'll ask him a couple questions, you know, that kind of stuff. Going into his senior year, he's going to get asked a whole bunch of weird, dumb questions. We'll see if we can give him a preview. Coming right up on the Horn.